The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I guess I've been quarantined. Perhaps Thomas thinks that the disciples are pulling some elaborate prank when they tell him that Jesus had visited them days after his death, well, on the cross. While the disciples were behind locked doors for fears that they would be next, Thomas was somewhere else when Jesus returned. He was a practical guy. He was probably buying groceries or something. And naturally, Thomas wants in on this firsthand experience of the resurrected Jesus. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, unless I touch his wounds, I can't believe it." And so we know Thomas as doubting. We have this phrase, doubting Thomas, like negative Nancy or nosy Parker, because of this moment. But the joke about doubting Thomas is on us, because Thomas is exactly the kind of disciple that we really are, and the kind that we are actually called to be. Understandably, he wants proof. He wants to reach out and touch Jesus, who he knows has died. He wants to have that same experience that all the other disciples had and were grateful for. Remember, Mary needed to hear her Rabuni say her name. The beloved disciple needed to go and see the linens lying in the tomb. And as a friend of mine puts it, Simon Peter needed an exceptional brunch. Thomas wants to see his friend and teacher again. And in that hunger, the living God meets Thomas. This is one important component of the stories of Jesus we so often sort of gloss over. God does not force us to find her as much as she finds us. We learn this in Jesus, right? Jesus was all about walking up to people and disrupting their daily routine, crossing social boundaries, doing the unexpected, and making a profound impact. The woman at the well. The one who discreetly touches Jesus' cloak in the midst of the crowd, and Jesus is like, who did that? The tax collector, who's just trying to see Jesus from among everybody else gathered watching him, climbs a tree and watches, and then just ends up hosting an impromptu dinner party with his Savior. Jesus is always meeting people when and where and how they do not expect it. Of course, Jesus does tell us the kinds of places and the kinds of people in which we can expect to find him. I'm going to jump Gospels. I've been told we're not supposed to jump from like John to Matthew to Mark in between, but I'm going to anyways to deal with it. In Matthew's account of the Gospel, Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." This is much, much more than a divine command to feed the hungry, to welcome the stranger, to visit the imprisoned, all things we should absolutely do. But this is Jesus telling us that to have faith in him, to have faith in the living God who created us, we need to be able to place our faith in one another. When we are tempted to deny the beggar spare change because we think we know where they'll spend it, we're denying the presence of God in their person. When we avoid the stranger to remain in our own little world, you know, let somebody else welcome that newcomer, we deprioritize an opportunity to meet the living God. And when, as a society, we confine and ignore entire segments of the population, we make a clear statement about our lack of faith in the hope of healing, the potency of forgiveness and mercy, and the possibility of resurrection. You know, I don't blame Thomas for wanting to see, hear, smell, and touch his friend. And when Jesus exalts those who believe without seeing, he invites us to place our faith in one another without knowing what the outcome will be, taking a chance on each other. Because there is such a lack of trust, a lack of openness, and such little willingness to let down our guard and take off our masks. And it breeds separation and fear, anxiety. It squashes love. Now, obviously, we need to maintain some healthy boundaries. Fridays are my day off. Please do not call me. Unless it's an emergency. But too often we exaggerate those boundaries and let them go unchecked to the point that we shut others and ourselves out of the possible. But the good news about all of our boundaries and all of the ways we turn down opportunities to live with the kind of loving openness that Jesus embodied is that despite all of it, God will find a way in. God found a way in through the locked doors of the upper room to wish his disciples peace, and God will find a way to break through even the hardest hearts. God will work through prophets, sages, and radicals, through blue-collar and white-collar and no-collar folks, through rich and poor and great and small, through Marys and Marthas, and through each and every one of us, to bring about a beloved community of faithful people who have faith in one another, and faith in the God who creates and sustains us all. God will find a way in. And with faith in that hope, we can find faith in one another and participate in building such a beloved community this day and always. Amen.